Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Bigfoot and Company Special Edition. We have Eugene with us this morning. I'm Dr. John, your host. Eugene has done a lot of research on Bigfoot. He's got some interesting thoughts. And when I spoke with him yesterday, I decided that these thoughts are something that our community needs to hear. So this is it's a great opportunity. And if you've got some interesting thoughts, get in touch with me or get in touch with Matt Delf. But we're going to have a good time. Good morning, Eugene. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning, John. I'm doing great today. It's a blessed day.
Well, that's good because you're up in beautiful, sunny Indiana, right?
That's correct. Right across from Louisville. Born and raised.
Wow. That's great. So we've been talking about some of your theories and ideas about Bigfoot. So let's just get right to it. Start telling everybody what you think, and then we'll discuss along the way, okay?
Okay, so our talk yesterday, we talked about Dr. Ketchum's DNA analysis, the DNA for the sample being 99% human, and then 1% unknown. I feel like I can shed some light onto why and how that is as far as Bigfoots go and their DNA test. So I'll go ahead and I'll go over what we talked about tomorrow, but I'll go a little more in depth.
Sounds good.
Okay. So to start, to begin telling this story, we have to go all the way back. And I mean back, not to the beginning of eternity, but back to the beginning of this earth and humans. So let's rewind.
Okay.
Now, when God made this earth, he made it perfect. He made all the humans on this earth perfect. There was no sin, as you would say. There was no darkness, there was no pain and suffering, no illness. It was perfect in every way, shape, and form. Now up in the heavenly realms, in the higher dimensional planes, as some may recognize, you had God, our Creator, and He had a legion of high energy beings. I'm Christian, so I recognize them as angels. He had a legion of angels, and they served him in the heavens. And there's one angel in particular. A lot of people know him as Satan or Lucifer. I'm not sure of his actual name, but I just recognize him as Satan or Lucifer. And he was a good angel. He's one of God's most powerful angels, right up there with Michael the Archangel. And Lucifer, he really wanted to show God that he could have his own realm and be just as good as the heavenly realm. And God did not allow that. So he casted Lucifer down into his earthly creation, his perfect creation. And following Lucifer were all of his, I believe it to be between 180 to 200 higher-ranking angel commanders. And then following them were millions and millions of lower-ranking angels. And then God casted Lucifer and his followers to this earth and to also the unknown black abyss. And
I'm sorry. This may be a question. What is the unknown black abyss? I mean, obviously, we don't know about it, and it's black, it's dark, and whatever. But kind of where does that come from? Because I'm not too familiar with that. I'll be honest.
Well, we have heaven. Heaven is the most perfect. You can't put human words on it. And coming off from heaven, there's 13 realms of existence. And Earth is the 13th realm of existence. We are the lowest vibration from heaven. And what is beneath Earth, the 14th realm, so being, is the black abyss realm. And that's a realm of darkness, of lifeless, of pain and suffering. It is the opposite of heaven. And Earth is one step up above that. And then above Earth's dimensional realm, you have 12 more dimensional layers until you can actually reach heaven, so to speak. So God cast Lucifer and all of his followers down to Earth. But more of them went into the black abyss, where they would be waiting for all of eternity until they can be freed. But that's a whole other story on its own. But right now we're talking about the Bigfoots. So let me get to that. So upon the angel's arrival to Earth, they got here and they witnessed God's beautiful, perfect creations. You know, humans, their will was for God. They lived all natural, just as a natural, you know, tiger or dolphin in the wild. We had no intelligence. We just were. We were just perfect. And the first thing fallen angels did was they tried establishing their idea of a perfect creation, which is why God cast them out of the heavens in the first place. They had tried establishing their own perfect realm. And this meant altering God's creation. And in that altering, they taught man and woman sacred heavenly knowledge. They showed them skills. They created self-will, meaning.
So, what kind of skills did they teach man and woman down here?
They taught them skills about the universe and such as energy, how energy works. Today, it's a common practice. There's tons of philosophers and astrophysicists who study energy, like Nikola Tesla and Albert Einstein. These heavenly beings taught sacred heavenly knowledge, because it wasn't for humans to know how the heavens worked. It wasn't to know how energy worked. We simply were, and we died, and everything was perfect. But they entered sacred universal knowledge is one thing they taught. They taught language. They created a hierarchy, a ranking system. They created civilization. They created commerce. They taught all this stuff, and it starts back at the very ancient beginning of times. Another thing they did was they raped the human women. Now, upon teaching all of these humans the sacred knowledge, the humans then became knowledgeable. Beings that fell from the heavens, they don't know what they were or what they were called. But the beings who fell from the sky, the fallen angels, they presented themselves as fallen beings. And if you look at Egyptian, Mayan, even Greek, at the very beginning, you know, cave paintings, you know, you have the Egyptian, all the characters carved in stone to come from the heavens. You have your Greek gods, you have your Aztec gods, your Mayan gods. Well, all of the different people of the planet viewed the fallen angels to be gods. And thus you have millions of religions and beliefs created based off of these fallen angels coming from the sky. And
Let me ask you this. Is it possible that these fallen angels came to Earth in spaceships, what we would call UFOs? Is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible. Definitely. And if in fact, in a lot of the the southern Aztec and Mayan cultures, there's a lot of cave paintings with spaceships and these higher dimensional beings, these angels, came on spacecraft. They can definitely. A lot of them flew. A lot of them had. They were giants. They had wings. They could fly great distances. The speed of spaceships. But modern day Christianity recognizes the fallen angels as the Nephilim, the giants, and the angels were essentially archetypes to the unintelligent humans. And an archetype being, we don't know what they are, but they portray themselves as gods, so we believe them to be gods, even though that's not really what they are.
Okay.
So this was the start of self-will, and this was the start of a corrupted earth, a corrupted plane of existence, earth. Now, the Nephilim, they raped women. They took women as wives. They taught sacred knowledge. They created, quote unquote, order on this earth, and they created. It started off as villages and turned into empires, into modern day countries, cities, states. And this was a course of hundreds of thousands of years. But let's go back to the beginning, the Nephilim, as the Christians call it. Well, the Nephilim, they raped these women, and the offspring of the Nephilim, the fallen angels, and the human women, the offspring were the original Bigfoot group. And they were very, very angry at their fathers for the acts they have done, the acts of treason they committed against God's will. And as a result, they were punished. They were banned to the earth for all of eternity until all the acts of their fathers were reversed and the earth once again became clean and perfect. But they were forever stuck on the earth, just going through continuous cycles of life until one day it would be perfect again.
Okay.
So
let's talk a little bit about the forest people, because that's very interesting, and that seems to tie into Bigfoot, doesn't it?
Yes, and I'm getting to that right now.
Great.
So the ancient forest people, the very first offspring of the Nephilim, the wise elders, they taught to the rest of the hybrid offspring that they must stay in the forest and live the natural way of God. A lot of them did. A lot of them stayed in the forest and withheld the natural way of living. Not all of them. The rest of the forest people left the forest and followed their grandparents, the Nephilim. And they did the same thing. They took humans as wives. They trained them in heavenly knowledge. And over the course of hundreds of thousands of years, the forest people who left the forest, they slowly de-evolutionized themselves into what is the modern-day human. But the rest of the forest elders, the wise ones who stayed in the forest, that is the modern-day Bigfoot. And then that's why Dr. Melvin Ketchum's DNA test result, you said it was a specimen from 15,000 years ago. It shows 99% human being female.
Well, it shows female. I don't know that we know exactly what the percentage is, but it does show the mother was human and the father was of unknown origin. We'll
And
I think we can go to that for sure.
Right, right. So the wise elders of the Bigfoot people, they stayed in the forest, and that's where they lie today. They're in the forest, and they continue living God's will. And the reason a lot of people have interactions with these forest people is it's because they have good hearts. If you find yourself having contact and interactions with the Bigfoots, and that's because you got a good heart, and they're trying to reach out to you. They're trying to de-evolutionize you back to the point of being original by simply establishing contact. Only before I got into Bigfoot, it was my father in 2014 who got me into it. But before I was into Bigfoot, I was blasphemous when it came to cryptids. I talked so much crap about my dad, but my heart was good. So I went out to the forest with my dad for the first time. And the second we got out of that Jeep, I heard 9 of the best whoops I've ever heard in my life. And I knew it wasn't any sort of animal. It was definitely a Bigfoot. And my dad was right there to back it up. Son, you just heard a Bigfoot. And from there, my life was completely changed forever. And I came from a background of interest in life after death and spirituality and the reason for life. So I kind of put 2 and 2 together, and through lots and lots of research, through all of religion and all of spirituality and the existence of this earth, I studied for years and years and years, and I did a ton of meditating. And the story I just told you was the truth that was revealed to me from inside. And it's a part of me, just like my arms and my legs. It's a part of who I am. And that's my truth. So right now, the Bigfoots, they're in the forest. And right now there's a war going on between God's army, the angels who do not follow Satan to this earth, and then Satan's army. Right now, they're going at it. And the purpose of the war is to win over as many souls as they can before time runs out. And time is going to run out very soon, and there's going to be a rebalancing act on this earth. All darkness will be separated, and all goodness will be separated. The darkness will go into the abyss for all of eternity, and then the remaining will be right here on earth, and it will be known as heaven on earth. And a lot of the Christian beliefs view the beginning of this process to be called the 7 years of trials and tribulations, you know, the rebalancing act of this earth. The reason these forest people are reaching out to humans and establishing contact is because the Bigfoots, they're on God's side. They're angels in physical form. They're reaching out to men with good hearts, and they're feeding them bits and pieces of information and experiences that their mind can comprehend. You know, they're not going to speak Chinese to a baby. They're going to speak baby to a baby. And once that baby grows, so does the communication, so does what they give you. And I speak from experience. Like, I used to battle depression. I had so many questions in life, and I was confused, and I was hurting inside. But thanks to the forest people, through their very subconscious, subliminal messages and interactions, they gave me just enough that I could understand and put the pieces together myself. And that's what I did. And so I beat my depression. I beat my bad way of life, and I've rebalanced my own self. And now I'm to the point where I'm trying to get the truth out. I got to get the truth out, which is why I'm on the phone with you. It's God's will for me to get the truth out. And, you know, I'm telling you this because I think people deserve to know the history of who they are and where they come from. Because a lot of people, they just don't know. There's not scientific proven evidence. There's not facts you know, stating the truth. All there is philosophy and theology, which is just, what's the word? It's just hearsay of the origins of man. But there's no concrete.
We don't know. We have no idea. Cis don't
we have
know.
No
they
idea.
Just make. You know, they can make their best guess. They don't understand. They say, well, scientists say this about the Big Bang Theory. Well, scientists don't know anything about that. They know Big Bang existed. But they don't really know what was going on. They can conjecture, educated guesses. But we don't know. You know, it's like before the printing press, before Benjamin Franklin over here, we don't know what happened. We have written records. Are those written records correct or not? So I think, you know, that there are two ways to go about this. One is to see what actual physical evidence do we have. Number two, see what we can gather, what we can understand, what we can figure out, like you're doing. Because that's the only way there is to really understand it. I mean, John, who wrote the book, John Bible, as far as I can understand, he wrote the thing over 100 years after Jesus died. I mean, he was going a lot from divine inspiration, and he was going from legend. So, I mean, we don't know, and people need to understand that we make our best estimate, our best guess, our best whatever of what happened. And yours yours is as legitimate as it comes, as legitimate as others are. You know, that's something that people need to realize. It's like, that's why we want to hear everybody on Bigfoot & Company. We want to hear what everyone's got to say. And then we will collectively and together determine what we think is reasonable or not.
Exactly. You know, people don't have to believe what I say. But, you know, I'm an open mind. The point of my hypothesis came from being an open ear. I listened to other people tell me their beliefs. I studied all the religions, and that's just what came to me on my own. And, you know, I may not be 100% right, but that's what feels right to me. That is what feels true to me. And and when it comes to Bigfoots,
and that's kind of funny. This is what seems right to me. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all we've ever had. That's all we have ever had. Now, Mary Joyce, who's a friend of mine, and she runs the website skyshipsadventures.com. It's a blog, and it's about the paranormal. It's about things that happen. She has written an interesting book, and it's available on Amazon, and it's called Evidence Left by Jesus. It's a really, you know, I've part of it. I've got my copy on order. But, you know, she's basically an archaeologist / anthropologist. She's looking at what she can find, and she's making conjectures. But it's a good book. And it seems to tie in with a number of things in the Bible. So, you know, there's nothing different than what Mary Joyce is doing and what you are doing. And that's what I like, and that's why you're on here. Because I thought people need to hear interesting points of view. There are a lot of points of view. So let's get them out on the table. Right, Eugene?
Yeah, just get it out, man. You know, you know, that's what life is about, is, you know, we're not all right. That's why there's millions and billions of humans. We got to help each other and share our beliefs. We have to share our philosophies, and eventually we'll get to the truth. You know, it may not be now, but at some point the truth will be known to the whole world. And this world will start being a lot better than what it is now. But, you know, some of the basic principles, the force people that taught me, is to not worry about the future. You know, just live in the now. They want you to live in the now and to take in the beauty of this world. They don't want you to look at the bad. They want you to look at the good. They want you to live a good, clean life. They want you to be wise. And as it says in the Bible, you know, be the light that shines in a dark room, and all the other lost souls will follow you. And that's essentially why Bigfoots reach out to humans, because they see potential in the humans that they reach out to. And they know a lot of the humans they reach out to, they're either A, candles, which lights have already been lit and just illuminating brighter, or B, candles that have yet been lit, that are really, really close to being lit. And that's all they want. That's all the Bigfoots want, is to influence humankind to be the best that we can be. And I don't know how more simpler to put that. And I don't think you can put that in
any more simple terms. I think that's great. Now, have you had, I didn't think about this until just now, have you had an experience with Bigfoot that you could share with us?
I have many, and I was thinking which ones I should share.
Well, pick the first one and let's go with it, okay?
All right, I think I got a good one. So Connie Willis, she did a series on me and my dad called Bonded by Bigfoot, and she covered this experience. And so I'll go ahead and tell it from my perspective. So this goes back to, say, about 2015. Me and my dad, we were a team. But my dad's beliefs of the Bigfoot was more along the flesh and blood aspect, as in they were, you know, they've always been creatures of this earth. They're not interdimensional beings. They're basically just very elusive gorilla-type creatures out in the forest. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just where he was on his journey. But my beliefs, I believe they were interdimensional beings. I believed in all the woo and then some. And for a long time, me and my dad, we butt heads about what Bigfoot really is. And since he's been doing it for 10 times longer than I have, he presumes he was automatically right. And he wouldn't even hear me out in my beliefs. So we started camping out when I got into it together. And we often invited people to come out with us. And one guy who come out with us a lot, his name is John Gregory Jerzevich. He's a very, very good man. He came out with us pretty much every single time. He was like our caretaker. He'd come out and he'd cook us breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He would take care of you if you're cold. He'd give you clothes, blankets. He was just a very, very good man. And he came out with us every single time. There was this one time, it was just me, my dad, and John Gregory sitting around the fire. It was just us camping out. And I decided I'd try and voice my beliefs and opinions about Bigfoot. And so I started, you know, going off the deep end from my dad's point of view. And like he always did in the past, he crushed me. He silenced me. Made me feel like I was crazy, made me feel terrible. And it had gotten to the point where I couldn't deal with that no more. My whole point with me being with my dad was to help expose my dad to the truth, but it got to a point where his view of me became toxic for me to be around. So we was around the campfire, and I started going off the deep end, and my dad silenced me, and he hurt my feelings. He crushed my heart and soul. And so I got up. I stood up out of my chair. I said, you know what? I said, forget this, man. The only reason I go Bigfooting with you is because I love you, and I'm trying to help you uncover the truth. But if this is the way you're going to treat me, well, then I'm done. I said, I'm done with this. And you know what? I'm going to move out of your house too. I'm going to leave you. I said, I'm done with you. I can't do it no more. So I got up and I started throwing all my stuff together, throwing my stuff back in my car. I was about ready to take off and be done with Bigfoot and be done with my dad forever. Because mine and my dad's relationship pretty much consisted of Bigfoot. And that's one reason I wanted to go out with my dad, was so we could develop a better relationship, because we really didn't have much of a relationship besides Bigfoot. It was a common place to bond. So I started throwing my stuff up in my car. Then all of a sudden, John Gregory, he walked over to me. He grabbed me by the arm and walked me back in the forest. And he had like a 40-minute talk with me. And he told me, he said, Eugene, the reason I come out with you and your dad is because I knew this was going to happen. And God put me here to prevent this from happening. He told me, you know the truth. Your dad doesn't quite know the truth. He knows a big truth, but he doesn't know the truth that you know. And you can't hold that against him. He says, it's your job as one of God's warriors to be strong and to forgive. Honor thy father. It's one of my commandments I live by. So I thought about it. I said, all right, John, I'm going to stay. So we walked back up to the campfire, and I sat back down. I got my stuff back out. John Gregory sat back down. And then me and my dad and John, we just sat around the campfire for like 45 minutes straight. And nobody said a single word. It was just some really, really tense energy between us all. It was so thick you could cut it you could just cut it with a knife. It was so thick, man. It was just some bad energy tension going around that campfire.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat there for 45 minutes, and then all of a sudden, we heard a meow. I said, what the? And my dad said, you heard that? He said, it sounds like a cat over there. So he grabbed the spotlight and he shined it over there where the meow was coming from. And there was these two raggedy-looking cats sitting on a log. And they were some beat-up, rough, ragged-looking cats. I ain't never seen nothing like it. But my dad goes, maybe they're hungry. He goes, Eugene, grab that cheeseburger. He goes, because we grilled out and there was some leftover cheeseburgers. He goes, grab that cheeseburger and go put it over there on that log they're sitting on. They're probably hungry. I took that cheeseburger and I set it over there. They tore it up like you wouldn't believe. And then they kept meowing. He goes, all right, Eugene, there's a can of food in my Jeep. And the reason he had a can of food is because my dad is a cat man. He had, at the time, he had like 10 cats. And they were all strays. He took care of strays, as one of his divine duties. And he took care of these animals. So he had a little extra cat food in the Jeep. So I went in the Jeep. I got that cat food. And I took it over there to the log they were at. And by the way, these cats would not let me get anywhere near them. They were extremely, what's that word?
Either scared. Afraid or timid. They were
timid.
Afraid,
yeah, that's
timid.
The word. Yeah, they seemed very timid. I could not go nowhere near these cats. So I went over there, put the food down. The cats ran off to the forest, made themselves unseen. I put the food down, and I went back to the campfire. I sat down, and we took the spotlight, and we shone it over there. And there they were, eating away. So these cats, the cats ate all the food, and then they took off into the forest. And then me and my dad just looked at each other. We said, wow, that was really amazing. And then all of a sudden, all the thick energy that was going around the campfire, it was a little bit there, but nowhere near as much as before. Those cats really lightened up the situation, because me and my dad both love cats with all our hearts. And out of nowhere, some cats came, and they made the situation a lot better. And at that time, it was time to go to bed. So my dad, John Gregory, they both went to bed, but I stayed out at the campfire. And I couldn't go to sleep because I was just thinking about, you know, what had just happened between me and my dad. I was real tense. I was full of emotion. I couldn't really sleep because I was trying to process my feelings and my emotions. But I eventually went back to bed. And I stayed up all night just thinking about what happened. And this is very interesting, this part here. I was sleeping, or trying to sleep. And right on the other side of the tent, I heard like a purring.
Yep.
And it came and it went, and it came and it went. And I kind of noticed purring only came whenever I had a positive thought. But the second I started thinking negative, the purring stopped. And I laid there for probably 4 hours just thinking, listening to the rhythms of the purring. It went right along with my thoughts. And I even tested it a couple of times. I would think a negative thought, and then it would stop. So it got to the point where I had to go take a pee. So I got up out of my tent. And right before I got up out of my tent, I heard the cat out there purring right next to my tent. So I got out, and I immediately looked to see if there was a cat there. And there was no cat there, nothing there. So I walked over to the tree, and I took a pee. And at this point, the campfire, it was just embers burning. You know, there was no fire, but it still lit off a pretty decent ring of light. You could see probably 9 feet in each direction of the campfire, just from the embers glowing and the moonlight. So I went over to that tree, I took a pee. Then I walked over to the campfire. I probably stood about 8 feet from it, and I was just looking into it. And then all of a sudden I had a vision right then and there that on the other side of the campfire, about 8 feet, there was a tree. I had a vision, and behind the tree, there was a Bigfoot standing behind that tree, and that's the vision I had. And then all of a sudden I heard words come to my mind, and it said, are you ready? And I immediately said, yes, I'm ready. And then I visualized in my mind the Bigfoot stepping out. And as I left the visualization in my mind and looked across the fire, the Bigfoot stepped out from behind the tree. And it was the same distance from the fire that I was, just on the opposite side of the fire. So it was 8 feet from me to the fire. Then the fire pit's probably 2.5 feet wide. And then another 8 feet from the fire pit to the Bigfoot. So that's probably, you know, 18.5 feet.
Right at 20 feet, yeah.
Yeah, about that far away. And he stood out. And here's the thing. I've seen Bigfoots, like, flash between trees, you know, but it was nothing like that. I'd never seen one like that before. But he stood there, and he looked at me dead in my eyes. And he had the glowing amber eyes. But they wasn't very illuminated. Mm-hmm. They was very toned down. And he just stood at me in my eyes. And the first thing I thought was, oh, my goodness. He looks just like me. He was like my twin brother, but a Bigfoot. And he was about 9 foot tall. He was thin around the waist. And he had some muscles on him, too. He looked like a superhero as far as build goes. And he had really light brown hair. But you could see right through his hair, and you could see his muscle tone and definition very easily. He wasn't a big bushy squatch. But he just looked at me, and we made direct eye contact for 45 seconds. He didn't say nothing to me. He just looked at me in my eyes. But he sent an energy to me. And right then and there, I just started tearing up and crying. Basically, he reassured me. He made me feel warm. He made me feel loved, pure. The feeling I felt from him was indescribable. It was like a heavenly type of feeling. He just looked at me, and I burst out in tears. I was crying my eyes out. And he just stood there and looked at me. And after 45 seconds, I turned around, and I walked back into my tent. I laid down in bed, and I fell asleep immediately. And then I woke up in the morning, and that was the best sleep I've had in a long time. You know, I told my dad about the experience that happened and the cats. And we believe the cats shapeshifted, you know, from Bigfoot to cat. They shapeshifted to help us out in our situation, to break some of that, you know, father-son negative tension. You know, they really relieved the situation. And from there on out, my dad's mind started opening up, you know, because he just thought they were flesh and blood. He didn't know they had powers or nothing like that. But he just seen firsthand that they could shapeshift. And then an experience not too long after, we had another cat encounter. The same raggedy cats came around, and it was just icing on the cake. And basically from that experience, though, that's when my dad's mind started opening up. And it opened up at a rapid, rapid pace, because once my dad seen some of that truth, it was like a domino effect. And it's like everything, all of who my dad was on the inside, started surfacing out. And I felt so happy. It was the happiest feeling I felt, because I spent years trying to get that out of my dad. I spent years and years and a lot of pain and suffering, you know, from a clash of perspectives. I went through a lot of pain trying to live up to that exact moment. And that leads to where me and my dad are now. Now my dad's mind is just as open as my own, if not more. My dad knows what they are. He knows who they are. You know, he knows the story just like me. And when we help each other now, we have a YouTube channel, and our
show
is called
The
Adventures of Squatch Man. Okay, yeah, our show is called The Adventures of Squatch Man: Journey to the Truth. Basically, we just go over encounters with the forest people. But here recently, we went over I don't know if you've heard, but here in Louisville, about a month ago, there were 6 llamas that were brutally murdered. And then there was 2 donkeys, which were brutally murdered. And then a calf, a baby cow, which was decapitated. It was a string of events. And so me, my dad, and our partner, Russ, General R. Squatch is his name, we did a full investigation. And we found some pretty, pretty insane pieces of evidence. We found these insane footprints at all the murder locations. And then this traced us to going to the Popelick Trestle, which is the legend of where the goat man is. He lures people up on the bridge and using hypnotizing. He lures them up there. But he targets very weak, weak-willed people, and people who don't really have God in their heart, people who are easily demonetized, easily, easy to manipulate.
Right.
Whereas someone with faith, you know, it'd be a lot harder. He leads them up onto that train trestle, and then a train comes flying around the corner at 60 miles an hour, and the trestle is like a mile long, if not longer. So they got 2 options. They can jump off to their death. They can get ran over by the train or run to the other end where the goat man's standing. So that's the Louisville legend, the Popelick Trestle. And the goat man, he's an ancient being. Some call him he's a satyr. He's known in all kinds of mythologies and throughout all time. But we just call him the goat man because it's easy and it's cool. But we did an investigation, and we found some extreme evidence. And we have a whole 5-part episode on our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is called Squatch Man TV. And the point of the channel is just to get our truth out. We don't care who may criticize us, who may condemn us, who may go after us. We don't care. The only thing we care about is getting the truth out to the people, because people have a right to know. The news tried saying dogs took out 6 guard llamas. And keep in mind, there were 15 llamas in this pen. And guard llamas, just 1 or 2 of them can fend off coyotes. They can fend off wolves and dogs. Their guard llamas are designed to protect herds. And then the news is saying 3 dogs got into the llama pit and killed It was, they originally killed 6, and then they brutally injured two more, and then they later died. So it was eight llamas altogether that were killed. But the news is expecting us to believe eight llamas were murdered by three dogs. And keep in mind, these are llamas weighing 300 to 500 pounds, 500 being the bigness. And they're guard llamas. They're defensive llamas. We investigated that site, and it was brutal, man. Like, there was evidence everywhere showing how much of a fight these llamas put up. And then we investigated the whole farm, and he had fence and chicken wire growing around the whole farm. There's no way dogs could even get into that place. So we completely ruled out dogs, and you know, we have the truth on our website. But it's not just dog man, or it's not just goat man. We also have dog man content. We got Bigfoot content. We have everything paranormal, everything cryptid on our channel. And again, our channel is Squatch Man TV. And now check out our channel if you're interested in following me and my dad's journey.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I'll tell you what. I would like to encourage everyone to go to youtube.com/SquatchManTV, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
All right. Well, that's good. And I'm going to go there, too. I think it's going to be very interesting. And this has been good. These have been great stories. We got some time. Do you have one more story you'd like to share with us?
What's our time frame looking like?
We got about 10 minutes
left. How much time do you think we... Okay.
We got about 10 minutes.
I got another story I can tell. So me and my wife, before we was married, one common interest was primitive camping. We loved hiking in deep into the forest with nothing but our bug out bags on our back and practicing primitive camping. So me and her, it was the beginning of our relationship. We only went on a few dates, but each date was like an awesome primitive camping date. But this date was it was off of the Knobstone Trail in Indiana. And it's like a 60 or 70 mile long trail. It's the longest trail in the state of Indiana. It's like the mini Appalachian Trail. But right there at the beginning of the trailhead, there's a lake called the Dean Lake. And so we hiked in just far enough to camp up outside of the Dean Lake. And I found us a nice ridge to set up camp on, overlooking the lake. It was beautiful. And I thought this would be a romantic place to have a night together. So I had my bug out bag, which probably weighed about 100 pounds. You know, because she's a lady, I ain't going to make her carry no weight. So I carried both of ours weight. And also carried my guitar out there because I planned on playing some tunes for her later on that night. And I set up our tent. And then I rummaged around the forest and collected twigs and sticks and branches of all sizes so I could get a primitive fire going. And then this was later in the day. So by the time I got all the sticks gathered, I had just got the fire started right before the sun went down, so it was perfect timing. So we got the tent set up, sleeping bag set up, campfire blazing, had a whole stack of firewood. So then it just came time to just relax and take it all in. So there was this log, this big fat 3 foot wide log that had fallen. So I used it as like a backrest. I leaned up against it and I picked up my guitar. I just started playing some tunes, you know, for Tanya.
Okay.
And I was sitting there playing for maybe 10 minutes. I wasn't playing those songs. I was just improvising. I play from the spirit. I don't do covers or nothing. I just play what comes to me. I was just sitting there playing from my heart. And then I felt something. I felt a mass to the right of over my shoulder. So I looked over to my right. And then I seen this big, thick neck, this big, thick squatch head was hovering over my neck, putting its ear real close to the guitar, listening to me play guitar because I was playing very quietly. He was listening. His freaking head was hanging over my shoulder, and I looked over, and he scared the living hell out of me because I ain't never had an experience like that. So I threw my guitar, and I jumped up. I said, holy crap. I said, Tony, did you just see that? She goes, yeah, there was something leaning, hovering over your shoulder. I go, did that look like a Bigfoot to you? And she goes, yeah, that looked like a Bigfoot to me. And it blew my mind. This Bigfoot leaning over my shoulder listening to me play. I thought that was really awesome. And that just made me feel so much better about the Bigfoots, because I knew if they wanted to have me, he could have had me. But he was totally friendly.
If he had wanted to tear you up, he could have done it in a sec.
He could have done it in a heartbeat. He would have snapped me like a toothpick. But he didn't. He just wanted to hear me play a guitar from the bottom of my heart. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, yeah, it scared me. It was just very unexpected. I had never seen a Bigfoot like that. I didn't really get a good look at him, because I literally looked to my right, and I seen him, and I instantly jumped back like a big tarantula just come out of nowhere. And he immediately just went back into the darkness. It was like a blink of an eye. And so me and Tony, we were just talking about that experience around the campfire, thinking about how amazing it was. And then probably a half an hour after that, I see this bright, gold glowing light off in the distance. I said, Tanya, look at that. What is that over there? I mean, it's pitch dark, and there's just this bright golden light in the middle of the forest. So we get up, and we look at it, and we reposition ourselves, get a good angle of it. And actually what it turned out to be, and this just blows my mind, because I've never seen nothing like this. It just completely caught me off guard. It was literally a 4 foot tall stick man out of pure golden light. And he was just dancing real slow in the forest. It was so magical, man. Like, we both seen it, and we both took it in. It was a glowing freaking stick man. It was a stick man. It had two arms, two legs, and it was very short. And it was just sitting out there, just dancing, floating around. The first thing that popped in my mind was, holy crap, that's a forest spirit. You know, I didn't know what else it would be. But it must be a very good forest spirit from a higher dimension. And after we seen that forest spirit light, I mean, we sat there and watched him for a couple minutes. You know, he was putting on a show for us. But after that, it was getting kind of late, so, you know, me and Tanya, we just spent the rest of the night together. But that's just one of the many experiences we had. You know, I had a Bigfoot leaning over my shoulder, and then right after that, we seen a golden stick man forest spirit over there dancing. And to this day, I don't even know exactly what that thing was. It's not really something I've looked into, but I know
well,
it was good.
Let me ask you this. You say it was about 3 feet tall, right?
About 3 to 4 feet, yeah.
Okay. Could you make out any details in the face?
No, its whole head. It didn't have a face. Its head was just like a ball of light. You know what I mean? It had two legs, and it had two arms, and its body was like a stick, just like a stick man you draw on a piece of paper. But it had no face.
Mm-hmm.
But it obviously had a head. It was a round head at the top of the body, but it was just a ball of light, a ball of glowing golden light.
And now, did the stick man go away on you? Did he kind of like disappear, or did you guys just walk away from it?
We just walked away from it. Oh, he just kept going. But we were sitting there watching him for a few minutes. I mean, me and Tanya, we have very, very open minds. So, you know, it's not like we needed to go investigate or nothing. I just knew that it was a forest spirit of some sort, you know, putting on a show for us. I didn't want to protrude my boundaries. I didn't want to go and scare them away or check them out or get too close or nothing. So we just watched them and just took in the experience. And it felt so surreal. It felt so magical. It felt like we popped right out of a fairy tale book. And, yeah, we just watched them for a few minutes. And then afterwards, we just went back to the campsite and just went about our night. And then we looked back a little bit later, and he was gone. But this was right there,
yeah.
And it was in a the bottom of two ridges. You know, there was no lights out there, no reflection. It was literally the middle of the forest. There's just a golden stick man out there. Pretty cool stuff, man.
Well, it really is. You know, we're reaching the end of our special here on Bigfoot and Company. And I'd like to have you back, and we'll talk about some more stories. I'll do some research. I'll ask some folks that I know who are knowledgeable in the area of woodland spirits and see if they can give us a little bit of insight as to what that might have been.
Yeah,
and
I'll let you know what that guy was.
Oh, absolutely. I'll let you know, and I think it's going to be great. And I want to thank you very much for coming on here this morning. We're going to have you back, and we'll talk more about this because I find it fascinating. And the more we talk about these things, the more we're going to know about them, and the more we're going to learn from them. There are lessons to be learned. So it was great. Especially, I like the idea about Bigfoot hanging his head over you and listening. Now, did you notice any particular smell or anything?
No, he had no smell to him at all. A lot of people say they got that musky swamp garbage smell, but I didn't smell nothing like that.
We see some people say that in fact, my friend Robin McCray, who interviewed a couple of weeks ago in Bigfoot and Company, it's basically a matter of personal hygiene, and some of them are quite clean. They have no smell. Some of the ladies will rub hard on themselves when they're pregnant. And so it's not always the case that they had a terrible smell. And we don't even know what
it's just like people. Yeah. Some people got some bad body odor, and some people really care about the way they smell. You know, Bigfoots, they're people too. I guess the same goes for them.
Well, they are people too. And so they, you know, some of them don't. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, Eugene. Thank you so much for being
here.
Hey,
no problem, man.
And
thank you for having me on.
Well, we'll have you back. And everybody, just all you have to do is search on YouTube, Sasquatch Man TV, and Yost, and it will come right up. So, look, thanks a lot, Eugene, and we'll speak to you soon. Everybody else, we will see you on Monday with another edition. This is Dr. John signing off. Have a wonderful and have a safe weekend, okay? Good. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you, John. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.